Good to be with you this morning. If you'll take your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6. Good to see Will over here. He worked with us at MBT a couple years ago. It's good to see him. Dr. Beal and Dr. Comfort, appreciate the opportunity to come and speak this morning. I'm just humbled at the opportunity that God's given me to speak. This passage of Scripture is very familiar to you, but I hope that something that God would give us something from the Lord this morning. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Our Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for the leadership here at Ambassador. I thank you for every student that's here that's come and gone through these doors and through the premises of this campus. And Lord, I thank you for what this campus stands for. And Lord, we just thank you that our church, sometime back, Brother Bagwell seemed fit to join up with Ambassador. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being introduced to these wonderful men of God and these students here. And thank you for the privilege that you've laid before us today to preach your gospel to these students. I pray for them as they have their midterms, and as they take their fall break. Lord, I just pray for safety for them, traveling mercies wherever they may be going. I thank you for the safety and traveling that you give my wife and I this morning. I pray for the school this morning. I pray for the kids as they'll still be having some of their Bible classes in just a few minutes. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to their hearts, for we know that we have some on our campus that do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for the day they receive Christ as their Savior. Be with us, Lord, today. I pray you'll give me clarity of thought and just freedom to speak in a way that please you today, that you'll receive all glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. My wife's name is Rhonda, and honey, if you'll just wave your hand, I will not make her stand up because I have to ride home with her, and she's very shy. In Mark chapter 6, I just want to share with you this thought, caught in a storm. Some of you probably will not remember this, the older ones will, but back in the year 2004, there was a hurricane that hit our land, which is Hurricane Ivan. I asked my boy's 18 years old, he didn't remember it very well. He remembered when a tree fell across our car and totaled the car during that storm. But during that storm, it is one of the roughest storms to ever hit our coast. And this is what it said, is back in Thursday, September 16, 2004, at landfall, Hurricane Ivan's strength was estimated around 130 miles an hour. Hurricane Ivan will compare with the worst hurricanes to ever affect the Alabama Gulf Coast region since the 1900s, including Frederick, September 1979, Opal in 1995, and another hurricane in 1926. Ivan produced estimated maximum winds of 60 to 80 miles per hour, generally southwest of Livingston. A few spots have been reached in up to 90 miles an hour. Other locations across central Alabama had estimated maximum wind speeds of 50 to 60 miles an hour. Well, now they prepared for this storm to hit, but now around our area, we never really prepared much for a storm to ever reach us as it did. This storm really made an impact, not only on our family, because I actually moved our car to a different spot because we had a dead tree out there, and I was afraid that tree would fall on our car. Well, it was another tree that it caught wind and come across and totaled our car out. Off of that storm, there were some tornadoes that spread off of that storm. One hit down below the house, another one hit not too far from the house, but another one hit about 30 miles to the house, which is closer to the church that I'm pastoring. And it just devastated some areas there. In the mountain areas, they claim that that tornadoes won't touch down in those areas because it just hits the mountaintops and skips over. But we know that not to be true. There's a place that's not far from the church that's called Peaks Creek. And this is something that took place at Peaks Creek. Their assessment showed a woman in her 20s. her right leg and her at a 90-degree angle from her torso, wedged ever so tightly in plywood logs and other debris from the house. Her left leg went straight down under the pile with a tree transversing between her legs. That tree was also under tension from a larger two-foot diameter tree that protruded horizontally up the hill directly above the victim. Directly above her was resting a Volvo in two trees. Now, this has just happened overnight. They're tucked back in the part of a valley that you wouldn't think that anything would happen. During this storm, they would not have suspected anything would took place around their place. But late that evening, the scene was just terrible. She asked the question as she's pinned in, "Are you going to get me out of here?" And one of the firemen said, "Yes, we are here to help you get out of here." The sad thing is that her husband works with a fire department, and just prior to this incident, he was called on a call to go out towards Franklin to work on a call, or he would have been there with a family at this time. Now, further on, as they investigated this, they found out that her 3-year-old child was just under her, and also her mother-in-law was just under her. The 3-year-old son died in this storm. The mother-in-law is dead underneath her. She's dead as well. The girl, the lady, finds out that she is pregnant, and she's 7 months pregnant. She loses the baby. So not only has she lost her baby, she's lost her 3-year-old son, she's lost her mother-in-law, and they will take off part of her leg, all because she's caught in a storm that just caught her unknown. Now we're going to find that the disciples are caught in a storm in just a minute. And in this storm, they didn't know they were going to hit it. I believe with all my heart that if they would have known the storm was going to come, they would have forced even more to stay on the land. There's something I've come to realize, and I'm sad to say that I didn't really put two and two together till really I was preparing for this message. I don't know what kind of storm you're facing in your life. I don't know what kind of storm you may face. But I do want to tell you, you never face a storm alone. Now, Christ is with you, yes. But 95% of the storms you face in life are not alone. I'm going to tell you about some storms that come in our life and just a testimony and how God brought us to Victory Baptist Church. And it was about a 2-year storm that we were in. And as I tell my part of the story, I asked my wife this time, I said, "Honey, would you sit down and write what you went through during this time of our life?" And during that time, there's things that she gives me that's kind of like the Gospels. And Matthew, Mark, and John give the whole story as you put it together. And as I got my wife's story, I began to think how selfish I was just to share my side and not really pay attention to my wife's side. Would you look at the Scriptures? I want to give you 4 things this morning out of these verses. The Bible says in verse 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people." I want to talk about first thing is his constraint. Now in these three Gospels we're giving, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through verse 33, he gives the indication Peter is there. Peter then walks out on the water as he goes to Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 15 through verse 21, John tells us that they were wanting to come and take him by force and make him a king. And now we find in Mark, and I like some things that Mark says, and I want to stick with Mark's gospel and not jump back and forth. But there's 3 things we really know about this storm. 1, there's definitely a storm. Secondly, they're afraid. And thirdly, Jesus is walking on the water and getting ready to pass by. Now I want you to notice some things as we look about his constraint here in this verse. As it talks about his constraint, the word constraint means to enforce, to hold, to restrain, to limit, restrain, or to restrict, restrain. As John has already mentioned that they come to make him a king and take him by force to be a king. And I've just thought about what if the disciples would have stayed on land? Would they have grouped up with the multitude that was there wanting to make him a king? What would have been their attitude at that time? I don't know. But one thing I know that as he constrains them or forces them to get on the ship, it's a little bit different, a little odd from the way we do things. Now, Christ is sending them off. The multitude is not coming to see the disciples. They're coming for Christ. Now, he's just fed the 5,000 and now they're coming and they want to take him by force to make him a king. They're not coming to see him. To see the disciples, they're coming to see Christ. So I thought about this. I used to be bivocational. For years, I pastored a church, worked a job as well. I had my own painting business. I was working in Highlands, North Carolina, and we were working at a Revenel house. It's one of the oldest houses in Highlands, North Carolina. And George W. Bush Sr. is coming to that house to have a dinner with the people in the area for raising money for his son. They told us you have to be out by 2 or 3 o'clock so we can have everything ready for George Bush Sr. to be here in the house. Never met any Secret Service, anybody of that sort, any ones we talked to afterwards. Never knew of anybody coming in when he traveled into Highlands. Highlands has about 3 red lights and you about blink and you about miss the town. So it'd be hard to get through, but they brought him in. But the way they brought him in is the Secret Service goes ahead of him, makes the way to where he can safely get in. This is kind of the opposite side of the story. Now, it'd be just like Bush coming in and he makes a way for the Secret Service to go into the Revenel place for their safety, and he stays back and holds the crowd back. It's kind of unusual, but that's what the Lord did. We find his constraint. He puts them on the ship to go to the other side, but there's something interesting that he does. He sends them into a storm. Oh, he knew the storm was going to be there. They didn't know it was going to take place. They didn't know what they were going to encounter. But Christ sent them onto that boat into the storm. And that's really what I want to deal with as they're caught into the storm this morning. Would you notice Christ's departure, his departure? Look at verse 45 and 46. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So if I had to look at his top priority, is that he wanted to get alone with the Heavenly Father and pray. Oh, I'd like to have been a fly on the wall or on a tree and just hear what the prayer was that Christ would pray at that time. But as he spends alone, his alone time with the Lord, 95% of the time, let me tell you again, the storms you face, you don't face alone. You look at this story here. The disciples are together. You look at Jonah when he's on the boat. There's other people that are there that's in the storm. Whatever storm you're facing, you do not face it alone most of the time. Yes, Christ is with you. So let me ask you something. What kind of storm are you facing? Being away from home might be a storm enough. Maybe you're struggling with that. What about finances for school? Some of you may be questioning right now, I'm going to go back to fall break, and it's really a question whether or not my parents have enough money, finances, to pay the bill for us to come back for even the next semester. You may be worried about your parents, their health. You might be worried about your grandparents' health. Your own health may be in question. You might even be discouraged this morning. You might be depressed. You might be struggling with a past issue that's taking place. Not something that you have done, but maybe something that is done to you. One thing, men, you're going to find encountering is pastoring. There was a lady that came to my office and talked to Rhonda and I. She was of the homosexual lifestyle. Her and I, Rhonda and I, had the opportunity to share the gospel and win that lady of the Lord sitting there in the office. She recognized what she was doing was an abomination. As we further got in and began to counsel with this lady and to lead her into following the Lord in believer's baptism, there was a little struggle that would come along with that. Because twice in her life she had been raped by a man. So I'd go through the process and I wanted to show her the process about being baptized. She didn't like anyone to really touch her wrist or her arms or any of that sort. And in baptizing, I have ones that hold their arms like that, whether or not they have to hold their nose or not, where I have something to hold on to and lift them back up. So I wanted my wife is always there when I counsel with a lady. Men never counsel a woman alone. As I was there with her, went over the process, she's fine with it. She went through the process, and I want to tell you something, there's still things in her life that she still struggles with. Can you erase that memory? No, it's always going to be there. You're going to erase that struggle? No, it'll always be there. But God can help you through that time of life. I can remember when God was changing my course. And I was pastoring Rocky Grove Baptist Church and pastored about 5.5 years. And the direction they wanted to go was opposite than what we felt God was leading us. It was a Southern Baptist church, and this is the time where we're pulling out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I talked to Clarence Sexton as he was getting ready to get on a plane, and this is what he asked me. He says, "Is your wife with you?" I said, yes, sir. He says, whatever you do, don't split that church. And I stayed in that church because it was my desire and what God was showing me. I wanted the people to see that. So we spent a year viewing the Southern Baptist Convention, going to the meetings, sharing with them what we felt was wrong, the things that were taking place, and they had no desire to pull out. I had no desire of tearing that church apart. So my family and I, we left, and God was moving us to go to, still staying at the house, but go to Bible college to further my education. It's about an hour and a half drive to Greenville, South Carolina, where Harold Seitler was a pastor, and that's where God led us to there at Tabernacle. At this time, as we're leaving the church, my business is shutting down. I'm barely making ends meet. I was making about $1,300 a month from the church. Now that's getting ready to quit, not going to have much income, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You're losing all that income to turn around and go to Bible college and pay for gas, tuition, and all that. Well, I want to share with you what God done in my life. Through that story, through that instance, someone paid my way to college. Someone paid half of my gas bill. Wanted to pay the whole thing, but I wouldn't let them do it. I paid half of it. And put tires on our car. Oh, as I thought about the struggles of life and what God was taking us through and the storm we were in, I was worried throughout that whole time, and I'd spent time at the doctor because I just worried myself sick. And I couldn't keep any food down. I was losing weight. I had an upper and lower GI, had all that checked. Sent me to a doctor to take, and you swallow a little pill that's a camera. It takes pictures as you go down. And as they take them pictures, I said, there's nothing wrong. We can't find anything wrong with you. They had my well checked. Everything else is checked. Everything come out clear. And what it all boiled down to, I was just not relying on the Lord. So I grabbed a piece of scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. As I held on to that scripture, I was going to the Bible college one night, and I asked God, I said, God, please, please don't put me on the shelf. I believe You're in this. I don't understand it. I don't know why we're going through what we're going through, but don't place me on a shelf. And God said this to me, I won't place you on a shelf. If you're placed on a shelf, you'll do that to yourself. And God took us there to the Bible college, and through that Bible college is how we got to Victory Baptist Church. Harold Tuck was the dean of the college at the time, and he gave me recommendation to go to Victory Baptist Church there in Silva, which was about 50-minute drive for us to go to. Still no finances, still not knowing how to pay bills, and yet we're going to still spend money going to Bible college the other way and the opposite way to church. I've got people in my church that says, well, I don't know if I can make it because I can't afford to pay the gas bill. I've learned one thing, you give it to God, keep pressing forward, God will supply the need wherever you are and what's needed. But I asked my wife if she'd write down some things, and I just want to read to you just a minute what she said. She said, by God's grace, we can do it. In November, the thoughts of Rusty going to school and leaving the church, driving back and forth, and she was driving back and forth to Asheville at this time with her grandmother, and her grandmother's on her deathbed. And then driving home to work as well as during the day and ball games for kids and doing all that kind of stuff for a mother. Rusty's grandmother also starts having problems and has surgery. She struggles with the thoughts of the bills, not able to pay the bills. Can I encourage you something? I'm not here to just give a lesson on these things, on finances. But I don't think it's good for just one person to handle the finances. I believe that my wife and I need to do that together because that's a load that's really hard on a marriage if one handles it, especially in a time you don't have any income and they're trying to cover everything and there's just no money coming in. It's a time to work together. But it's a storm, one of the greatest storms that her and I had ever been in together. We've been married almost 22 years, and this, I would say, is probably the greatest storm I'd ever been in. And God opened the door to start working with Brother Bagwell. And I had never been full-time in the ministry, and now my wife has never dealt with that, and she's wondering, how in the world can a church supply financial need to us and take care of us? God can. These guys are in a storm. Let's look at this here, as he says in verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into the, and when he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Would you notice the third thing, his approach? Would you look at verse 48? And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And notice what Mark says, and would have passed by them. Now I take that literally for what it says. The Bible talks about that Christ is on the shore, and now he sent the disciples across to the other side. And as they are in the midst of getting to the other side, a storm sweeps in, and they're rowing and struggling to get to the other side. And yet, Christ knew where they were. The Bible talks about he saw them where they were. And as he begins to walk on the water and goes toward the other side, the Bible says in Mark that it was only he would pass by them. Isn't it interesting that God knows every storm you face in life? I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. I don't know what you'll face with tonight. This young lady giving her testimony a minute ago about being in a car wreck, that could be you and I tonight. And we don't know what storm we'll face, but God does. But I think it's interesting that God sent them into that storm. There's many storms in my life that God sent me into, that's constrained me into, and I've wondered, why, Lord? Why am I here? Why am I going through this? Would you notice his constraint? Notice his approach, but notice his comfort. Would you look at verse 48 and 49 and 50? And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Whatever storm you're facing today, can I just ask you, would you grab a piece of scripture that God will help you hold on to? Maybe it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's our desire to lean on our own understanding and to try and take hold of things ourselves and to try and make our way through it. But would you just trust in God to help you get there? You know, God constrained you to come to this Bible college. He placed it on your heart. And you've got a burden to get to the place where you're going to. And there's something that Brother Bagwell would say to me over and over again. It was hard for me to listen to at first, but I began to understand what he was saying. He said, Rusty, enjoy the ride. I was thinking, what do you mean? Enjoy the ride. I'm wanting to get this place where God wants me to be. My heart's in pastoring. My heart's in being with the people. And I'm going through about 2 years of this, of Bible college again, and going through these struggles of life. And I just wanted to hurry things up. And I've realized, young people, I've realized that there's times in my life that I've rushed ahead of God instead of taking the moment right where I am day by day and just enjoying the blessings of God. In the Southern Baptist Convention, we had one meeting that one guy really got to my heart in something he asked. We sat at one of those meetings, and he asked this question, what has God done for you right now, this past week? What has God done for you? He says, I'm not asking what God had done for you in the past or a month ago, but what has God done for you right now? And as he started to ask ones, I'll be honest with you, I wanted him to ask somebody else but me. Because my heart was set on things that were negative. I was down and out on myself, just having a pity party, selfishness, just having a self-pity. And yet, I began to think, what has God really done for me? Oh, as we was traveling over here this morning, I was just thinking about the horizon as we come across the top of the mountain. And looking just at the beauties of God and what God has created and what God has done. And how God has allowed me the privilege to know Him as my personal Lord and Savior. The day I received Christ as my Savior. One of the greatest days, the greatest day of my life. And what He's blessed beyond that. I'm humbled to be here this morning. I feel inadequate about being here this morning. But I found that I didn't force the door open. God opened the door and I just stepped through every door that God's opened. Some of the storms we've went through and walked through, I don't understand why we face some of the things we face, but one thing I have learned It's through these storms and through these trials and through these tribulations that's made me who I am and has built my relationship with my wife to be stronger than what it has been. No telling what we'll walk through. I don't know what you've been through. You might, and some of you ladies might have been through some of these storms like this other lady been and been abused sometime in your life, maybe some of these children. I think that when we're in Christian school and Bible college, at some of these kids, at first I thought none of these ever gone through these things. The first year I was at the school and I walked in, I opened the door and one of the boys went like that. I about hit him with the door. I looked at that boy, I said, surely not. We're at a Christian school. It couldn't be. His eyes were just as bloodshed as could be, shot as could be. And as I went in there and talked to the guy that was doing administrative work at the time, that boy had been popping some pills. He was on drugs, and we had to dismiss him from the school. That was at a Christian school. Other stories we could tell about things that take place. You're not exempt from them kind of storms. And if someone has harmed you in some way, oh, I wish I could take that pain away from you. I wish I could take that shame away. I wish I could take all that struggle away that you hide in your heart and your mind that no one else in here may even know about, may never know what's taking place. Mom and Dad may not even know, but God knows about it. And I'm glad that we have a God that we can go to and cry out to, and He'll be bring comfort to our weary soul. We find in the storm that not only does He constrain them to get on the boat to go to the other side, but also we find that He has departed for a little while, but yet He knows exactly where they are. But then we find He approaches. And then as He approaches, we find He brings comfort to that storm. Would you notice verse 51? And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed, and themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Now in the other scriptures in Matthew, it tells us that when Peter and Christ got back on the boat is when the calm came to the storm. Can I just share with you, and just to be as honest as I can, that every storm you're in, you can find comfort in it. Before Brother Bagwell left, we were holding a baptizing, and God got saved. We were baptizing him. And we didn't have a regular baptistry at the time. We had the creek. We'd dam up the two culverts, and they had put plywood there with plastic on it. Well, as we were letting it down, baptism's over, I'm standing on about that much of plastic. And when you let that down, the rushing of that water, just it's just got more force than what I even realized. I can swim fine. But that plastic caught my feet from out from underneath me, shoved me down under the water, and the water's only about that high. But I'm down under that water, and they can't get me up out of that water. And at that time, I thought I was going to drown. I could see out through the water. I could see the light, the sun shining through the water. And as I was still trying to hold my breath, all I could think about, if you'll just let me go, it's dry on the other side of that culvert, and whatever takes place, I just went on the other side of that. When that wasn't happening, this is what went through my mind. Lord, I'm ready to go if you're ready to take me home. At that point, I was ready to suck in all water and ready to drown whatever it take, whatever it's going to be. And at that point, they were able to get my head above the water to where I could get to where I could breathe, and others got the water down. But at that time, I want to tell you, I had the sweetest comfort come upon me at a time I thought my life was at its end. Now, God has constrained you to come to this Bible college. God has pressured you, pushed you, maybe nudged you, maybe parents have helped in that, of course. But yet you're here. And your desire is to be a missionary, to be a pastor, to be a pastor's wife, to get on the mission field. And you're eager to do that, and you want to do that. You might be just a freshman, sophomore, even a senior, and now you're going to start raising money for deputation and be going around traveling to churches. And you're eager to get there. Can I tell you something? Just enjoy the ride. Just enjoy it. What kind of storm are you facing this morning? You need comfort in the storm that you're facing in your life? Is it finances struggling with? Is it health? Is it with family? Is it with past issues? Maybe it's something amongst the school that no one else knows about. What kind of storm are you caught in this morning that you're needing God's help? I hope this morning you'll just turn it over to the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you please?